Acts chapter 2. When the first day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound of the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds, them speaking of those powers. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered, 'They are filled with new wine,' they said. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice, addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what the prophet spoke of, Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out on my flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. On this day when we celebrate the new life of our seniors, it seems appropriate that it's also on the day that we celebrate the birth of the church, Pentecost. Because for new life to begin, we have to have had life in the first place. We had to begin our journey. And as we reflect on this transition time for our seniors, I think there are words of life for us in this Pentecost season, in this sermon that we reflect on the birthday of the church, the life we all receive from on high, and the encouragement and strength for our journey of faith through God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of grace. During this season of acronyms as well, I've been throwing a lot of them out at you, so I thought I would continue that theme today and focus upon the acronym titled LIFE today. LIFE. New life, first life, and growing life through the love of our Lord. As young people, one of the first experiences we have with our family is celebrating birthdays, right? That's a wonderful occasion. We all love it when it is our special day. Manya went to a birthday party yesterday to a little 2-year-old friend of ours, and there was a great, wonderful celebration because his life is important. It's a glorious day of celebration. That's what we do for those that we love. We celebrate with them their first life and their growing life and relationship with them. So as we consider the acronym LIFE this morning, I want us to remember the seniors today as you reflect on this transition of going forward, but also on all of us who are parents or teachers leaders in our church, in our community, our employment. This acronym of how it speaks to us to pour life into others as well. Life. Young folks, as you go forth, may you remember that the L represents the love that we have from our family. That's the greatest gift that we as parents can give to our children, that we as school teachers can give to our students, and we as leaders can give to our people. Love, it's the first and greatest commandment Jesus tells us. It's the love that we see exemplified in our text today. It's the love that the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles by God the Father. As Jesus promised, he said, I'm going to leave this place, but I will leave you the Spirit of truth, my comfort. You know, I find it amazing. Did you hear all those fancy words that I pronounced so eloquently this morning? You know the trick to that, right? You pronounce it like you know what you're talking about, and nobody else knows the difference. All those words, don't you find it? You kind of wonder, why in the world did the writers put all these big, hard-to-pronounce cities in this reading today? It took about four verses to mention all those different countries and cities of people speaking in those languages. Why were they recorded in Holy Scripture? I think this is the reason why. Because they're important. Because it's a sign and a reminder to us that God loves not just a few, but the entire world. And friends, that's the greatest gift that you should remember, seniors, as you go forth, the love of your parents, of your family. And parents, may we embrace that role, that the greatest gift we can give our children is the first acronym of life. It's love. The second letter of that acronym is I, and it reminds me of a great gift that we can give as parents, as leaders for our young people, and the I is to invest in them. You know, that's what we do for things that we believe in. Financially, as we're looking at our portfolio, preparing for retirement, we study the markets. We consider what to invest in, whether it be commodities, gold, stocks. We consider how it has produced results. And then we decide whether to invest in it. But you know, friends, your parents, those who love you most, the leaders in your life of love, they invest in you because they see your full potential. And may we as parents, may we as leaders understand that as we nurture our younger disciples, as we prepare them for this day when they graduate, one of the greatest gifts, church, hear me now, one of the greatest gifts we can give to our young people is to invest time in them. You know, I've heard it so often with school counselors or school secretaries. They see the kids who are going to be problem students. And so often they say it can go back to the home life. It's the fact that they don't have the stability at home. And so often, I know that we can't minimize those complications of imbalances in people's life, but so often a root cause to that problem is that a parent is not investing time and intimacy into that child's life. That's a call for us as those we care about to invest. And young people, as you go forth as seniors, may you remember the investment that these who love you have placed in your life. Never forget that when you need strength for your journey. You know, I hear that God in our scripture today invested in the life of the people of faith as the apostles were gathered in the upper room. Do you see what happened? The Holy Spirit came into their midst like flames of fire, the scripture tells us, and God gave to those apostles what? The greatest gift, the strongest investment imaginable. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you what? Power from on high. Friends, young disciples, older disciples, as we go forth from this house of worship, as you transition into adults, as you graduate from high school, may we know that God has invested His time into us and gifted us with the great gift of on high to strengthen us from our journey. His Holy Spirit of counsel and strength. May we do the same as we grow together, investing ourselves into the lives of those we love. You know, so often when we're tempted with temptations, you know, one of the great commandments that God gives us is that we should honor our father and mother and we should not commit adultery. He speaks to the relational aspect of our lives together. And as we resist that temptation, may we remember older disciples, that that call to resist adultery, to love family, is not just a commitment to our spouse, but it's a commitment to our young people. When we cheat, we don't just cheat on our spouse. We cheat on those we love, our children. We neglect them. May we embrace. May we invest. May we embrace that I of this acronym and pour our lives into their lives. Take them hunting. Play ball with them. Spend time with them. The other day, and look, I don't always get it right. I'm preaching to Jody as much as I'm saying this sermon to you. I'm receiving it with you. But when I get it right, I go the extra effort and spend time with those young people that I love. The other day, a few weeks ago, Noah Hill had a baseball game in Houston. Luke Hill had a football game in Pontotoc. We had a split family for the day. Mom went with Noah. I went with Luke. And after Luke's football game, he and I loaded up and we headed to Houston. And Noah doesn't know this yet. I'm fixing to let the cat out of the bag. As Luke and I pulled into the parking lot, Luke had taken a nap. He and I were heading into the baseball stadium and everybody else was heading out of the baseball stadium. We got there right when the game had ended. And we knew about halfway down there that we weren't going to get there until the game was over. And Luke said, "Why are we going? If the game's going to be over, why are we going?" And you know what my answer was? "Son, that's what family does. You show up. You support them. You invest in their life, even if it means showing up when the game is over, just to show up and give your best effort to say their life is important." Friends, we've got to do that. And young people, don't forget those who've invested in your life. When life presents you with challenge, remember mama, remember daddy, remember grandparents, remember Sunday school teachers who poured into you. That's the second acronym, invest in their life. The third acronym is F in life. Remember, young people, that those who love you most, they'll do this. They'll forgive you. They'll forgive you when you blow it, and you're going to blow it. Manya forgives me when I blow it, and I blow it quite often. That's what we do in relationships. It's not that we don't ever make mistakes. But love conquers those mistakes and forgiveness is there. You know, part of forgiveness is not saying that what we did is okay. It's acknowledging the mistakes we make. It's trying to turn from sin. God calls us to a holy life. Yes, we live by grace. Hallelujah. And we're forgiven through God's mercy. But He calls us to try to resist those temptations. But when we blow it, we are forgiven by loving God. You see, I see that exemplified in our text today, that as God the Holy Spirit came into the midst of the apostles, you know that there was forgiveness there? That this was just 50 days after they gathered in that upper room, that intimate time where Jesus had spent time with them in supper, as we're going to celebrate in worship today. As Jesus had invested in them, you know what the apostles did? They, like we sometimes do, they blew it. as Jesus was arrested. They denied him. When Jesus needed them most, they betrayed him. But then Jesus came back and said to them, guess what? I forgive you. Wow. That's the gift of love of the church, young disciples and older disciples. May we embody that as we grow together. Forgiveness as we have been forgiven. And finally, the last acronym of reflection from our scripture today that I want you to remember, seniors, as you go forth, the E of life acronym is encouragement. You know, your parents, those who love you most, those whose counsel you should seek on your life as you make decisions, and as you go places from here, you should remember to respect most of all the opinions of those who do that, who encourage you along life's journey. You know, I find it amazing, even in our scripture today, you have some old negativism. You have some naysayers. Did you hear it? As the Holy Spirit came into the midst at the great celebration of the birth of the church, even there was some old negative, shrilled up people of faith that said, oh, well, they're just drunk. They're just drunk. They've lost their mind. They were naysayers. They weren't encouragers. They were those who were pouring cold water on the flame of the Spirit. You know, they're all around us. And sometimes, certainly, we are the naysayer. And we try to turn from that in our life. But if God is leading you in a direction and you hear that constant pessimism, those negative responses to the good that God's trying to do in your life, then consider the source. And I mean that quite respectfully. Consider the source of what that person is bringing to your life. Are they a person of encouragement? Or are they a person of pessimism? What are they pouring into your life? Encouragement, friends. It's not just positive, new way stuff. Those are words of life and faith and characters of our God. You see, that's what we had from Jesus. As he was leaving his disciples in John 16, he said to his friends, he said, I'm departing you now, but I'm going to leave you, as we recorded earlier, the Spirit of Truth. And this is what the Spirit of Truth will do. He will comfort you. He will encourage you. See, that's the gift from on high. So young disciples, seniors today, I ask you to embrace that life love of your family. And parents, older disciples, and all of us who seek to lead our young people, may we embrace that acronym, not as the only model of life and service, but as a model, as we seek to minister and mentor our children, our grandchildren, our young disciples. But most of all, seniors, don't forget the acronym of life that's symbolized from the love of the one on high. Yes, be grateful for your parents. Yes, be grateful for your coaches and your teachers and those who've poured into your life. But as you leave this place, may you remember most of all that the Holy Spirit goes with you. The Holy Spirit goes before you, and the Holy Spirit goes behind you to live out love, to invest in you, to forgive you when you make mistakes, and encourage you all along your journey. May you embrace the Spirit and grow in your life in a way that glorifies the Father above. In Jesus, we pray that for you. Amen.